Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Wondering what's next in your business or personal life? Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings, a podcast dedicated to helping you with all of life's challenges, discoveries, and opportunities. Whether you're seeking a new career, retirement, or simply wanting to make an impact in your community or the world, join Jen Duplessis and her guests as they explore how to start, what to do when you're in the thick of a change or growth, and how to leave a mark in this world after breaking through your next achievement. You are moments away from the aha you've been seeking.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings. I am honored and privileged today to have a guest with me, Di Manuel. And our practices are so in common. We're just going to have a blast doing this podcast. So strap in, get some a pen out, and take some notes because we're gonna have a lot of fun. And I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to this episode, Di.
Thank you so much, Jen. I'm like super excited. I'm stoked, especially knowing the caliber of people that you have conversations with every day. I'm just extremely honored to be included amongst them. So I'm stoked. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah, this is gonna be great. So let me take this opportunity to introduce you just a little bit to the audience so that they know who we're talking with. So Di is a super dad. So we're going to find out more about that because he's got some children, as we were just talking about my grandkids a few seconds ago. And, you know, and his wife with a lead by example way of living and a contagious personality, as you'll hear here shortly, who's on a mission to positively impact 1 million role models around the globe to lead a fun, functionally, I don't even know if I can say that because once I say fun in there, it's so hard to say. Functionally fit life through education, encouragement, and community. And he is a digital thought leader, an author, a distinguished Toastmaster and keynote speaker, and former partner and chief operating officer of a multi-million-dollar retail company, which maybe he'll share with us because I questioned that. And he knows the struggle of the juggle and keeping his health and happiness a priority through his 5 F's that we're going to learn about. And then that's F as in Frank. We're going to learn, or in fun.
Or fun. Yeah. Fun, yeah, Frank. That works too.
So we're going to learn about that as well. So before we get started, so again, welcome to the show. And before we get started, I'd like to hear about your story. You know, what brought you to this particular point in your life where you are now in a position where you're giving back to people and making a significance for other people to, you know, a lot of times our mess is our message. So I'm curious to hear what your story is all about.
Well, thank you, Jen. That's whenever I'm asked that question, you know, I'm like, well, part, you know, because it's all, I mean, obviously for ourselves, we're, as Joseph Campbell says, we're all on our hero's journey. Yeah. And there's been different periods in my life where I felt called to change.
Yeah. You know,
based on where I felt myself not moving forward any longer or actually regressing and just not happy, you know, not happy about certain elements of my life. And sometimes we have to hit that proverbial rock bottom before we finally realize that, wow, I can't get any lower than this, or could I? And I don't want to. And sort of that pain of change is never as painful as the pain of not changing. And I think sometimes we have to get to that point. So when I think back on my own storyline and some of those milestone moments, if you will, you know, I've been in the wellness industry for over 25 years, and my entire career has been in the wellness space in some capacity. And I love helping people with health and lifestyle transformations or shifts. But I didn't come to it naturally. I think a lot of people, when they meet people that are very into health and well-being, and especially a heavy fitness slant, they automatically presume like, oh, you must be of growing up playing sports and doing active things. And that wasn't the case with me. I was actually morbidly obese from the age of 9 to 14.
Wow.
So fine. I know. It's weird because, you know, 5 years of those developmental years, dealing with some emotional trauma, dealing with some
bullying, maybe some self-doubt. Yeah.
Well, all the typical, cliches or stigmas that are associated with someone in that state of unhealth, I was definitely living them. But I mean, I tell people, don't feel sorry for me, because it was all me, you know, like I got myself there, but I didn't realize that until later. It was very easy to point fingers at everybody else, in particular my parents or some of my community and that lack of support I felt. But really, I was the one withdrawing. I was the one eating a lot of very nutrition poor foods, eating just a lot of calories, but playing a lot of video games, watching movies, not moving my body. And, you know, that just progressively grows all the time, day by day. And then I decided to make a change at the age of 15. And I tell this to people because a lot of people say, well, what motivated you to make that change? And I was like, you know what? To be perfectly honest, I just wanted a girlfriend. Like,
Well, that puberty hit, right? Well, and it's like, hey, I want something more. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, when it really gets down to it, I just wanted to be wanted. You know, yeah. I wanted to actually have somebody want me. So there was a lot of value issues that I was working through and self-awareness issues and the typical stuff. But I realized that I wanted to make some shifts, and I broke down. I was battling with suicidal thoughts and a lot of other negative emotions, and it just got to a point where I realized, well, the fear of death and that finality scared me a lot more than the idea of actually doing something.
Thank God, because there's so many kids that are in that right now.
Oh, and I'm just grateful that, you know, this is all pre-internet, you know, I couldn't imagine having to deal with this. Like even then, I could only find a couple images of myself when being that state of unhealth, because I avoided the camera. I avoided social situations. So there's very little, well, even proof that I was in that state. I got two images that I've used in the past that my mom had to dig out of storage to find because no one believed me, you know? Yeah. Because I moved across the country after I graduated high school at 18, went to Vancouver. And then I just, going through that change, and Jen, I know you have a similar story. You know, we go on these hero's journeys and we go through a lot of, and we're often challenged a lot. You know, some of us call it a sense of adventure that we're on. And in going through the changes and dealing with those tribulations and trials and challenges, we're forced to adapt. You know, we do. We change. And it, right down to the cellular level, you know, we become literally new people, new versions of ourselves, evolved versions.
And I mean, some of this story has to do with the power of choice, right? So I want to make sure that you include this in what your story is talking about, your transformation as well.
Yeah, thank you. It's this idea of really fully owning that at any given moment in time, we're literally one choice away from changing things. Maybe you've heard the idea or metaphor of drawing that line in the sand. You know, we get to it. Like you and I are on this conversation today. We've had very different lives, different experiences. Similar experience as well, but our two narratives, they're intertwining and intersecting for a moment. And this is what you're talking about, especially as far as, you know, becoming rich in experiences. And I think it's beautiful to be really aware of the now and what we're creating right now. But we also have the ability to influence what we do right now, and that is through choice. You know, like just fully owning the fact that I can choose to do something different. And then it's just a matter of following it up with some action.
Yeah. And so what do you think becomes that tipping point for a lot of people, you know, when it comes to health? Yours obviously was, because I know I'm going through a transformation right now in my health. I've been fortunate enough that I've always been slim and trim, never had any issues, but I've never overeaten either.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't part of it. And of course, I was very athletic.
Yes.
But when people are going through any kind of change, I want to really hone in on the health piece because that's really what your focus is. But for me, you know, I just turned 56. And for me, it's now an inside change. I want to make sure that the inside is better, stronger, more powerful, right? And I think we can get very complacent in the thought process, at least for me, as I'm getting older, is like, well, I'm kind of older. So, you know, you just sort of expect that, you know, you're not going to be as pretty, you're not going to be as strong, you're not going to have as much muscle tone. You know, in my husband's case, because he's had 3 heart attacks.
Wow.
So his muscle tone is different, you know.
And
so, the atrophy. And so what's happened is that, you know, for me, there was a decision to make a change about the inside more than the outside to make sure that all my organs are, you know, and we're going to talk about that because ask you some questions about your thoughts on that kind of change. But what do you think is a trigger for people when it comes to health, when it's not just, obesity, like I can't walk up a set of stairs, or I have to buy two seats on a plane. Mm-hmm. What do you think becomes the real trigger for that? And what do you think holds people back from that as well?
So there's a lot of wonderful questions and ideas worth exploring there. And Jen, I don't want to skirt over, but I want to quickly acknowledge you. You know, I mean, you look fantastic. I wouldn't have guessed 56 at all, other than you mentioned that you have grandchildren. So it instinctively makes me think, well, okay, maybe 50s, but I would have no idea. But that's a sign of making very specific choices that are in alignment with the type of life you want to be thriving in, not just living in. And I think there is a strong pull for us, or push, I guess it depends on your perspective, but it's when we get clarity about the type of life we want to be leading. How do we want to be showing up? What kind of person do we want to be? You know, not just for others, but specifically for ourselves. And, you know, there's been a few periods in my life, because as much as I went through that fitness change and that health change, I neglected working on the inner stuff. I really did. It was very superficial as a teen. I mean, very, very superficial, only because I was only working on the outside. I mean, at 15, 16 years old, that's all I thought about was working out and look good.
You know, looking
it was
all that
it was the aesthetic. You know, again, I told you one of my main motivations was just to have somebody else want me on both an emotional and a physical level. And so that was what drove that change. But because I didn't do any of the inner work, it actually just, I had still all those like emotional trauma that I was just masking, you know, never really dealing with. And I think for some of us, you know, that trigger that you were talking about, that moment where we decide that, okay, I really do want to make a change. And then we live the steps, live the actions, or live the life as that individual that's already made the changes. And it's a repetition, right? But for myself, it wasn't until I got into my 30s. It was actually about 11 years ago, I finally started to do the inner work. Up until then, I was struggling with alcohol and drug use. To the point that I just had a very bad relationship with that, and it affected my relationship with everybody else, because I was masking a lot of the stress in my life, a lot of the anxiety, especially dealing with social anxiety. I found it very awkward to be in social settings, partially due to some of those habits I had developed as a teen. Also hearing, oh, he's shy, right from the time I was a little kid, you know, being told, oh, he's shy, don't worry about Ty. You know, like I'd hang out in the corner, hide behind my parents, not speak to other people. And, you know, they keep applying that label. Oh, he's just shy. It becomes that excuse. And I mean, I really believe that,
right.
And so all of a sudden you get all these ideas of who you are based on the perception and the input of others. And we either take it as face value, oh, that must be the way I am, or we can challenge it.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do that though. Like it's hard because it's completely different. Yeah. And there's a lot of fears that come up, you know, the fear of the unknown.
And I think that also, even when you do recognize it, you know, in my case, not for what I'm working on in the physical health interior of me, not my mind right now. I'm set there. I'm working on the physical health inside, but you know, the trigger I had as a small child, you know, is that I was told, just like you were told you were shy, I was told I was going to amount to nothing. I was going to be an alcoholic like my father. I was going to be poor. And even though I made choices and changes to change that, and I overcame a lot of that, you know, from success, right? There's always this undertone of I'm not worth as much as somebody else. So I'll just, you know, and I think it's also a woman thing, you know, where we just say, well, you know, we'll normally I charge this, but this time I'll charge that for coaching. We just kind of diminish the, you know, our worth. And that for me stems from still way back, you know, deeply rooted is I'm still not quite worth as much as I think I might be, even with all the successes and the accolades and all the things that we go through. So it's very challenging to live your entire life that way too.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it does, because it ends up pulling us back. I mean, you mentioned the glass ceiling at the beginning. And I always love that reference from Gay Hendricks' book, The Big Leap. You know, he talks about these zones of genius that we sort of limit ourselves. And we have these self-limiting beliefs that keep coming up. But a lot of them are rooted based on perceptions of who we believe we are and what we believe our value to be. And if they go unchallenged, especially, you know, unchallenged by ourselves, well, we're faced to just live it. You know, and we can become quite defeatist and just sort of say, okay, well, this is, I guess, my lot in life, and I just better learn to live with it, or I'll live with it and complain about it all the time, you know, and, yeah. and not actually do yeah. what can be done.
And, right. And lose sleep yeah. over it and things. You know, I have a client yeah. who is heavy set. Mm-hmm. And she actually had said to us, you know, that she believes that if she loses weight, mm-hmm. that she will be, because she had lost weight once before, apparently. And when she did, she became very, I guess, snobby and, you know, she lost weight and she became very conceited and, mm-hmm. and all these things. And she actually says, you know, there's a part of me that doesn't want to lose weight because I feel that I'm not threatening to my clients. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to being that kind of person. And so keeps her weight on.
Mm.
And so, you know, there's that push that you talked about, but then mm-hmm. there's also the pull of retraction mm-hmm. too, that
yeah.
people. So, you know, I know that you were talking about the power of choice and, you know, it's never too late to make changes. So what do you say to someone who's might be listening to this podcast and saying, you know, I'm holding back because I have this fear of mm-hmm. who I might become?
Like all fears, right? I mean, there is basically two motivations in life. I mean, there's things that attract us and things that repel us. And you can go right down to love and hate, or fear as being something that can repulse us or push us away, and that we avoid, you know, based on feeling uncomfortable, being fearful. I mean, whatever comes up, there's reasons why we run away. And a lot of it's just survival based, you know, just DNA. You know, it's like we've spent a lot of our existence is running away from things. And I think because we don't have all those real life fears any longer, we got to fabricate a lot of them. And we create a lot of emotional, mental fears, yeah. especially. And
yeah. Yeah. So what are some ways that people can yeah. overcome some of their fears? So what are some of the strategies that you've developed, you know, to help people identify something that's holding them back when you can clearly see it,
for sure.
right? Because I know as a lifestyle coach, you know, you're like, I got this. I know what your yeah. problem is, but they need to see it. So
yeah, there's three questions. You know, as soon as you realize that there are some changes that you want to challenge, mm-hmm. and really there's certain states of being that you're like, you know what? I don't want to be like this anymore. You know, it has to come from the individual themselves. They actually have to make a choice first and foremost. Do they want to change?
Right.
If they do, great. If they don't, learn to love yourself as you are, because you are enough. And I know that self-belief aspect to that doesn't always happen right away, and there's ways to work through that. But on the specific question that you've asked, I always ask people to answer one question first and foremost. Can you do this? You know, like, and that's really asking yourself that, like, okay, well, let's just talk about your client that would like mm-hmm. to release some weight. You know, it's yeah. like really ask yourself, or you ask her as her coach and say, well, do you think you can do this? Do you think you can lose the weight? And in her case, well, she's lost it before. So it's like, well, yeah, I know I can lose it.
Yeah. And I love the word release. And I've heard that before, because people yeah. say they lost weight, find it again.
Mm-hmm. We don't
so
like
the
losing
release
stuff.
Is so much.
It's a little bit nicer, you know, say goodbye, bye-bye.
Yeah.
And the way I always put it too is, you know, if you look at the energy of just macronutrients, fat is actually just energy. But when we're carrying it on our body, I call it potential. You have yeah. so much energy, and some people have a little bit more energy to release to the world than others. And that right. makes them all the more fun. You know, it's yeah. But after you've got a yes on that first one, because it often has to do with education or seeking proof, being able to prove that, okay, if I do make this commitment, I can actually do this. And so once you have a yes to that, then you go to the second question. It's like, okay, well, if I do this, will it work? So if I start to make these little changes, right. micro changes, start with really, really small ones. If I start to do those little micro changes, will I actually start to see a result, or see myself progress towards the changes I want to make? And listen, I would never be to the point where I'd be so egotistical, say, well, I'm the only person in the world that has this challenge, and you know, I've got to figure it out on my own. And I mean, we have a lot of people on this planet. We have a lot of wonderful people that have shared their experiences and their triumphs of overcoming big, big transformations or challenges in their life. And so, yeah, if you go through the process, like even for her, if she started walking, let's just say even 5,000 steps a day as a beginning goal, just walk 5,000 steps a day, because right now the average North American gets about 1,500 steps a day. Our bodies are designed to be able to walk up to 30 miles a day. So we're underutilizing a lot of our potential in the way that our bodies are actually built, based on just not even moving. And so maybe that was the first little step. And by doing that, on top of how she's already living her life, will that start to create some positive adaptation? The answer is yeah. But she has to come to that answer.
Right, right.
And then there's one more. Jen. There's a third question after you get the yes and the yes, right? And the third one is it worth it? And I often challenge people to reframe it and ask themselves, am I worth it? Because this is the question that I think people are most challenged to answer. And the reason being is there's a lot of other potentially limiting beliefs or ideas that how they perceive themselves or they believe others perceive them. And it influences a lot of the choices that we make and how we lead our lifestyles. And so we're really getting to that third question. You've got, yes, I know I can do this. I also know if I do this, it will work. But am I worth it? You know, yeah, is it worth it?
And as you ask that question, you know, I was thinking about just other decisions I've made in my life, you know, and as soon as you said, you know, is it worth it? I was like, yes, it's worth it. But when you changed it to, am I worth it? I actually had some doubt.
Well, it's amazing, isn't
instantly,
it?
Instantly, I was like,
isn't that amazing?
It's worth it, but am I worth it?
And that's the most important piece.
You know, still something I'm struggling with, apparently.
Yeah. Right. And what's interesting, Jen, is like, if you sit with that, I would ask you, like, why is there something holding you back there from fully acknowledging you are worth it? And yeah, some of it comes down to our value, but a lot of it has to do with just fear of failure, I find is a common one, only because people have tried, especially when it comes to health changes, people have tried.
Yeah.
They've made great success. And then all of a sudden, they've regressed back to, sometimes they put on more than they originally lost.
Yes.
And they feel like it's this constant two steps forward, two steps back. And so they're afraid to commit and say that, is it worth it? Well, maybe it's not, because at the end of the day, I probably won't be able to maintain the change. You know?
The question for me was around money. It's always around money.
Oh, interesting.
Because of my childhood.
Yeah, because of that.
Yeah, for me, it was around money. So, you know, as you were going through that, I was, you know, saying, how can I apply this to every part of my life, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. So we won't use the time for the rest of the audience for me to be psychoanalyzed.
But I think it's a great example, though. And thank you for acknowledging that, because I think we all have that. And especially us as coaches and mentors to other individuals.
Oh, yeah. We're not perfect.
No, heck no. And, you know, I gave up perfection a long time ago because it created way too much stress in my life. But I've just adapted and adopted a way of living that constantly allows me to progress and evolve, you know. But like anything, you have to have a vision for where you want to evolve to, you know. Because if you don't, it's really, it's really easy to let yourself off the hook a lot.
Yeah, I love that. So what I want to do is I want to move into, so thank you so much for sharing that, because it is very, very key. And, you know, and I love just the simplicity of those three questions. And I honestly think if I'm able to ask those questions over and over for myself, I think that I can resolve them, you know, so I don't think it's go in there and get to the end and say, you know, well, I'm not worth it, so I guess it won't do it. I think it's, for me, it would be repetitive self-talk, you know, positive self-talk getting to that point. So what areas of my life could I answer that question? Yeah, I am worth it. And it's sort of like, you know, in sales, I tell my clients all the time is call your best friends in the warm and fuzzy calls, because you will develop a confidence level that allows you to pick up the phone and call the people that you might not know or haven't talked to for a really long time. And so if I can exude a lot of positive response in those three questions in other areas, and when I get to that area, there's a likelihood that I'd be able to answer that question more positively because I'm in a right frame of mind.
Well said, Jen. Yeah, that's bang on. Yeah.
So let's talk about your practice and what you talk about with the five F's and how you model that for your clients. So let me just kind of spit out the five F's are fitness, obviously, because that's something you lead with, family, faith, finances, right? And fun, and having fun with all of it. So share with us about how you move people through those five F's in your coaching program, so that if anyone who's listening is saying, you know, I've got to get healthier, that they have an idea of what, so that you don't have to have 10,000 one-to-ones. We can kind of knock out some of that now. And people can say, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to get in touch with Di and I want to move forward. So share with us about how you intermingle all of this into your coaching.
Well, I find that a lot of us, we understand through metaphor or analogy. You know, it's just an easier way to often understand sometimes what can be considered complicated or complex ideas. And I think life is one of the most complicated, yet can also be seen as very simple. But a lot of it has to do with our upbringing, our choices, how, you know, just our beliefs. And So when I really wanted to get to the nut of it with my own life and get clarity on what is most important, what are some of my values, and really right to the core, you know, these things that I believe to be absolutely true, that I prioritize, and that I know when I don't prioritize time for those values, things aren't that good. You know, it's just, I find that I'm out of alignment. And when I'm out of alignment, things aren't going smoothly. I often feel like I got a lot of other self-talk that's on the negative side of things that tends to pile on. So when I was looking at what was most important, I created basically like a picture so other people can easily understand this concept. So I always say envision a home, and each in homes, I just think about it like a box. There's four walls, right? And then there's an overarching roof and a foundation that everything's built on. And for me, I like alliteration. It's the writer in me, you know, and the orator. It just helps people remember things. I use F's. So there's fitness, faith, family, right? And finances, overarching roof of fun on a foundation of health. So that's continue that sort of metaphor for life as this home. You start to realize, well, foundation is critical. You know, without a rock solid foundation, the walls will never be as sturdy. The roof will potentially also deal with some issues. And really the entire structure or integrity of that life will not be as great as it possibly could. But life throws us curveballs all the time. And that comes in the form of storms, like a house will be challenged by.
Correct.
You know, and so usually the more rock solid the foundation, in my case, I always say like health is that foundational element. And I'm not just talking physical health, I'm talking mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, financial health. Having health in the holistic side of life is very critical. But these walls often feed into that foundation as well. And so fitness is a direct correlation to improving health. Like if you're not moving your body with purpose, at least several times a week, you're not getting that added benefit of challenging the body to the point that it has to get a little bit uncomfortable and create a positive adaptation.
And it strengthens the foundation all the time, every time it happens.
Yeah. So if you want to improve your health, the easiest way to make an impact on your health, besides just changing how you eat, is actually how you move your body. It's the piece I find to be most impactful because the one piece that requires the most motivation to commit to. Takes energy, takes effort. And for a lot of
time.
Yes. And it's that time piece, right? That a lot of people struggle with. And so it's like, well, prioritize that first. Make that a non-negotiable. Block it into your calendar. I'm not talking time management. I'm talking commitment management, right? Like commit those pieces first. And then let the rest of life sort of fill in around it. Because if you don't prioritize time to improve your health and your fitness, nobody else will do that for you.
Right. Yeah. Nobody can do your push-ups. I've always said nobody can do your push-ups. You have to do those. Yeah.
Yeah.
One at a time. Yeah.
Exactly. And now when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about denominational faith. You know, like I'm referring to it for some people that is. Mine's more non-secular. You know, it's really about, I think actually Wayne Dyer puts it best. He calls it the shift that we experience as people, especially as we age. And as we have more experience in life, we feel this calling, this draw to now make greater impact.
And well, that's why this podcast is called Success to Significance, right?
I love that.
Impact. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so this draw to want to make the place that we call home or this planet, our societies, our communities, make them better than they were when we first got here. And so when I refer to faith, that's really what I'm talking about, is that element that's within us that is drawn to create that impact or leave a significant mark on this planet for the better. And then from there, we got family, which I think is self-explanatory for the most part, but that includes relationships with yourself as well as relationship with others and those dynamics. And finances is critical. I mean, we live in a global economy. We need to be financially responsible if we want to be able to have certain experiences. It's just the nature of the world we live in. And I find that a lot of people have a lot of heavy debt load. You know, they're mortgaging their present. Or how do they say it? You're mortgaging your future to pay for your present, you know, and this idea of like, well, I'll pay for it now with this and then I'll worry about it later. There's a reason why they call it Blue Monday that we just experienced. All the credit card statements from Christmas came due and it's like gray days and it's winter and we have all this, we have a day, we say it's the most depressing Monday in the year. And I'm like, really? Really? You know, like why? Who made that up? You know, probably a credit card company. I don't know. But
aside from Divorce Monday, which is the first Monday of the year.
Right.
And that's
not so nice either. And then the overarching roof of fun, because quite frankly, Jen, if you're not smiling every day, you're probably doing something wrong. you know? So learning to have fun with it. So that is my sort of idea of how to picture life. I use the F's to make it easy to remember. It's how I prioritize a lot of my commitments, but also my decisions or choices on what I want to be doing or how I want to be showing up. They're basically guiding principles or guiding values. And I always say to everybody else, well, envision your own house. What would the walls be? What are some of those core values? What is the roof? What is the foundation?
What does your foundation look like? Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't have to take my idea of my life, but I like to give people a bit of a construct or an example of how they can start to see their life and then make decisions based on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love that. So I want to ask you a little bit about the fitness piece of this. You know, when you're coaching people, I mean, you're coaching people, you know, you're in Canada, right? Yeah. And people that are listening are all over the world. So how are you helping people from a fitness perspective, you know, when you're doing this virtually? How are you helping them with that? And then I want to lead to my sort of almost last question about some of the things that are out in the marketplace right now. Mm-hmm. That are very confusing.
Sure. And that's absolutely fine. And I'm back in Vancouver now, but the last 2.5 years, I was actually living in Bali, Indonesia. And my family and I have been full-time family traveling for almost 5 years. And now the kids are finishing up their last couple of years of high school. So we are back in Vancouver for them to finish their schooling. But we made a choice a number of years ago that we wanted to prioritize family. And the best way to do that was making a big career shift for myself, leaving a company that I was a co-founder of, and ultimately just choosing to live life a little bit differently so I could prioritize those core values. And so leading into that, obviously fitness, nutrition, mindset, really lifestyle, coaching and mentorship was something that I've always been doing for over 20 years. But we live in a beautiful day and age where we can leverage online means to help people make a greater impact, right? And so it goes through a number of different ways. I have a free program that's based on my book, The Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. I give that away for free. And
I know, and you're giving that to our listeners.
Yes, yeah, it's basically this. Yay! Yeah,
I love it. I know, and it's a 28-day manifesto, right?
Correct.
When habits change.
Well, it's at least a start. And I tell everybody, well, is that all I got to do? I'm like, no, it's the least you ought to do
for
you. Because I know you're worth it, but do you know you're worth it yet? So it really takes people through a process because I believe that we need passion, we need purpose, but without a process to align it all, it never will go as smooth as we want it to, or it might actually slow our ability to achieve what we want to achieve. And so this is really just a process to align some of those other pieces and help people and a community to hold people accountable. And then on top of that, there's like the one-on-one and the small group support. Like yourself, I do a lot of keynotes every year. I connect with a lot of organizations. There's so many different ways to carry this conversation forward and help people start to engage in the conversation with themselves and their families. That's what gets me excited. Because all it takes is one person in a family or a community to adopt a new way of life and then just start to live that and then thrive with it. And then just by being around others, they now start to make that positive influence. So that's sort of how I show up and how I help people. There's lots of different ways to do that, different tools I leverage, but for the most part, it's a lot of just encouragement, education.
Well, and that's what people need, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That's what mentors are for and what coaches are for. Okay, so recently, my husband and I just became plant-based.
Okay. Did you watch a movie that inspired you?
You know, the show, The Game Changers, right?
Yeah.
We just recently became plant-based, and I have to tell you that we're not 100% because sometimes we run out of ideas for food.
Sure.
And this is part of us changing, you know, like the inside and not feeling so sluggish and not feeling, you know, like we've taken care of ourselves, you know, completely the best way. And my husband, by the way, has type 2 diabetes as well as has had 3 heart attacks. So for me, this was me pushing him to support him to get better. And in the process, I would get better as well. But one of the questions I have is when it relates to the nutrition part of, you know, for example, your coaching programs, there's a keto diet, there's obviously the plant-based, there's vegan, which is different than plant-based, you know, it's even more stringent. And so do you find in your experience that each of these avenues that people, you know, go down, or maybe even isogenics, there's that too, and you know, all that, but these lines that people go down, are you finding that there's not one that is perfect for everybody that you specifically endorse, or is it more that you find out more about the individual and their lifestyle to be able to fulfill a better nutrition?
It is very confusing. Like even myself, someone that's been in the industry for over 20 years, I don't find it's getting any less confusing. In fact, it's getting more confusing just based on the accessibility with media nowadays and that influence. And there's a lot of myths that are constantly perpetuated and often just regurgitated in different formats, whether it be a meme or someone making a GIF or some picture or an infographic. And now we all might presume, well, that must be accurate, you know? And what we forget to really look at is there's foundational chemistry and biology that's at work in our bodies. And it's been a millennia that that's been happening. You know, it's not like something that's brand new in the last 10 years. We're learning more and more. Like nutritionary science is really barely 100 years old. So our understanding even of calories and proteins, carbohydrates, fats, you know, alcohol calories, like these ideas of macro or micronutrients, we're still discovering more and more about that stuff. So is there any one solution that fits all? I don't believe so. But if I was to say one way of doing it, it's really trying to get back to whole foods.
Yeah.
Eating lots of natural foods that are like plants, fruits, vegetables, seeds, like some things that are grown and not put into packages. Ideally, that is something that's great to look at. But then we start to question, or we see media and it starts telling us about the environmental influences, right? Specifically when it comes to chemistry and some of the chemicals that they use in the foods nowadays and how it affects crops. And so there's a lot of different schools of thought on this. Mm-hmm. But I find if we try to just eat healthy, eat less processed foods, look at the ingredient list on things that are processed or packaged, and really try to find things that are using whole foods in the packaging so you can actually read what's up there. Now, again, for short term though, and this is just, I wanted to touch on what you brought up there, but these different ways of eating and nourishing ourselves, I believe they're very effective on the short term. You know, if we're saying like, say you want to commit to a very specific way of eating to create a certain type of result in a short period of time, the keto diet is one of my favorites. And, and I mean, it has its origins about 100 years ago. It was used to treat children with epilepsy, you know, because it was they found that sugars and diets high in sugars would affect these children and create higher frequency of
Seizures.
So they found that by reducing the carbohydrate intake and almost eliminating it, that they were able to reduce the epileptic seizures and episodes. And these kids would be able to thrive more naturally without the pharmaceutical influence. And then later on, pharmaceuticals just became more and more popular. And you know, well, I could take a pill instead of eating that way. Well, great, I'll take a pill. And so ketogenic diet sort of fell out of fashion, but it resurged about 10 years ago. And I like it because it creates a hormonal shift in the body. It teaches people how to burn fat for fuel versus sugars for fuel. In particular, like you mentioned, your husband being type 2 diabetic. Well, he's got to monitor his blood sugar levels all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and so an easy way to do that, well, if you remove the sugars or you go to only natural sources of sugars, you find that the body's able to process and handle it differently than it does table sugars or some of the sweeteners that are used.
Yeah.
So just... It comes down to
Getting him off of donut.
Well, that would be a great first step.
and a grape doesn't taste as good as a donut.
Yeah, that's right. And you're right. And I find with a lot of people, like I have a program called the Dad Bod Project. And I work with men, typically 35 and older, that are fathers. And I find for a lot of them, they are used to eating a lot of processed foods or fast foods. And that does have a numbing effect on our taste buds. So initially, as soon as you limit that intake and you start to eat regular food again, your taste buds aren't fully appreciating what you're doing.
Right.
And it takes about almost 2 weeks to really get back to that. But then all of a sudden you could eat a strawberry and be like, whoa, that is super sweet and flavorful. Where, you know, when you first do it, it's like, I'd rather go for that really high glycemic index table sugar because I get that instant response, you know? I equate to like the nicotine effect, right? Like people that have become very accustomed to having nicotine or caffeine, same sort of deal. It's like, well, I need that hit, right? Because it creates a certain response. But the more we stimulate the body with those responses, it numbs us. You know, we see it. I was like that with alcohol. Like it was like before I could have one glass of wine, then I eventually got to two. half a bottle. Right. Oh, I'm having a bottle at the end of the day, you know, to again, chasing that effect. And
Or chasing away from something too. Yeah.
Oh,
well, and I love that. I'm glad that you mentioned that. Can you say the name of it again that you're doing for men?
It's the Dad Bod Project.
The Dad Bod.
Dad Bod, like body, Dad Bod Project.
I want to make sure I got that. Dad Body. Yeah, but Dad Bod Project. I love that. Yeah. So men that are listening, you know, so those of you that are listening, you know, that's a great thing too, because then you can, you know, you're working with another man to help you through that. Yeah. And I just wanted to know your perspective. So thank you so much for sharing that. And I think, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we're plant-based now and we're going to see how it goes. And there's a day a week we allow ourselves to breathe. Sure. A little bit. And, you know, we don't eat a lot of meat anyway, but it's just an opportunity for us to just kind of breathe a little bit and just feel like we're not so stringent, you know, because it's just taking some time. But I do think, you know, over a period of time, it might be that we have to shift and go to some other type of way to, you know, sustain our bodies as our bodies change, you know, as we get older. And that's really what I wanted to hear. I don't think there's one way forever for anybody.
Well, that's right. And it really comes down to your relationship with food and how it works with you. I mean, some of us have sensitivities to some types of foods, but one in three people actually have a lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I know. I know, and it's crazy.
You know, and so if you start paying attention and ask yourself, even 30, 60, 90 minutes after you've eaten something, how do I feel right now? Just check in with yourself. Just become, you know, just practicing that act of mindfulness, especially as it relates to nutrition. Just ask yourself, do a quick body scan. Like, how am I feeling? Do I feel like I've got clarity? Do I feel like I need a nap? You know, do I feel lethargic and tired? Then there was the mix wasn't right. You know, it wasn't right for you.
And we don't ever slow down to speed up, right?
No,
we
don't.
I say that all the time. We're always speeding up to slow down. And I think, you know, that's kind of the part of the problem is that we're not, uniquely aware of ourselves and our bodies. And that's what I love about your whole program, you know, about just having that awareness and making sure that you're moving your body forward and that you're living the life that you really were set out to do. And a lot of times when people talk about lifestyle, because I know I call myself a lifestyle business coach, right?
Yes.
It's the same thing. And I think a lot of people think it's about having the Ferrari and, you know, the big house and stuff. I mean, it's not. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about living our life and leading our life rather than letting our life lead us. And I've just absolutely enjoyed having you here today. So I want to ask you just a final question, what would you like to leave us with? I know that you're giving us a wonderful gift and we'll have that link in the show notes, but do you have a quote or a book? And I know you have your book. Can you show it real quick again for those that are looking here? And we will have a link for you to get the book, but just so that we know that it's a Whole Life Fitness Manifesto. And I want to make sure that, you know, people can pick up your book. Is it in audio form as well for people?
I'm about to release it. Okay, like I'm releasing it myself. It will be actually the first episodes of my podcast. We just be narrating the book. And so it will be coming out. Like I said, I get this all the way for free. If you want to buy a hard copy, well, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, you can go there. But as far as the digital versions, I provide that.
Well, good. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll probably be out in digital. So that's good because we're going to be a couple months out before we're released. Cool. That's wonderful. But do you have a quote that you live by or, you know, something or a book that you really would like to share with the group to say, you know, if you pick up this book, I promise it's going to change your life. Or if you live by this quote, this really had a significant impact in me and I hope it has it in you as well.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple books, but, you know, there's one that I read every year and it's a fictional book. It's called The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Okay.
And I just love the story. It's all about really that idea of trusting our intuition. And, you know, we feel this desire to that we always have to go somewhere else, that we're always having to go somewhere to achieve something. And it's got this really neat sort of theme in the story about, you leave to go and try to achieve whatever you believe to be success. And very often we forget that we may, to be quite honest, we all have it already. And so there's that. And then there's a book for men specifically. It's written by a gentleman by the name of David Dida, and it's called The Way of the Superior Man.
Oh, awesome.
Wonderful book for any men. I do a lot of men's groups. I facilitate men's groups and men's coaching. And, I'm always challenging men to have dialogue around what's it mean to be a great man. And so those types of conversations I love to facilitate. And that's one book that I feel really challenges that idea. Like, what does it mean to be a great man?
Yeah.
And
I love that. Yeah, and I know that, you know, gosh, if you're a man listening, you know, these types of books can really change your life. my husband belongs to a Bible study called The Man in You.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's, you know, very much along the lines of that, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're finding out who you really are and who the man you're supposed to be. And you can be soft and you can be vulnerable, right? And it makes you a stronger man. Okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt you because I think you have a quote too.
I really enjoy, there's a quote by Mark Twain, and he talks about, he says there's the two most significant days in our life is one, the day we're born, and two, the day we figure out why. I love that quote. It's one that I always think about because I think, as Simon Sinek says, you know, that discovery of our why is just that. It's an act of discovery, not invention. It's not like we're making it up. We have to feel it. We have to experience it. It's what it's constantly evolving just based on us living into our best life or our best versions of ourselves. And it sounds almost like woo-woo, but it's not woo-woo. It's just being very mindful and aware of your choices and the effects that your actions have on not only yourself, but your surroundings and those that you know. And as you become aware of that, you literally do start to connect in so many different ways. That holistic mind, body, spirit aspect of really being unified, it starts to happen. And now, not forcing it, just naturally by making great choices and following up with even amazing actions. So
leading your life and not letting your life lead you. And I think we just go through those motions because, you know, the man who's laying on his deathbed is never worried about how much money he has in the bank. He's always worried about what he didn't do and who he didn't tell, you know, that he loved. And, you know, so do it all now, you know.
I love that you brought that up. There's one book. Oh, I'm going to just, because you just inspired me to talk about the book, but there's a book by a woman by the name of Bronnie Ware, and it's called The Five Regrets of the Dying. I think every single person has to read that book. Every single person, you know, because she interviewed and got to know these people that were very much on their deathbeds. And this is the conversation that would come up is there anything in your life that you regret not doing or wish that you had done? And there was five common themes that kept coming up over and over and over again. And so she wrote this book. She's actually done a wonderful TED Talk on it as well. So if you want to just sort of get right to the TED Talk, but the one that always sits with me is like, I regret not living the life I wanted to live versus living the life I thought everybody expected me to live.
Yep. You know? There you go. That's it.
And I won't tell you the other four. You got to go read the book.
That's right. And that's like mic drop right there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Di, you have made a significant impact on me today. And I hope that those that are listening to this podcast, you know, that you've made an impact on their lives as well. And I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing to make a change in the world for the better and keeping it fun and keeping it real and, you know, allowing people to have the lives that they really, really deserve if they'll just be willing to take a few minutes to look at what they're doing with their life now to make a change and an impact. So thank you so much for gracing us with your presence today.
Thank you, Jen. And thank you for being just such a wonderful role model to so many people and really inspiring significance in so many ways. So thank you. It was an honor to be here. And I look forward to our next conversation.
Awesome. And we had fun.
We did.
All right, everybody. Well, listen, we will catch you next time on Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings. And I hope that you take something from this that will change and make a significant impact in your life. And please be sure to take Di up on his offer to make that 28-day manifesto to see what you can do to make a difference in your life or someone that you know that is looking for this. Maybe you could be that wonderful person who brings it to them and makes all the difference in their life. So again, thank you so much for sharing time with us today and listening in, and we will catch you next time.
You've been listening to Success to Significance with Jen Duplessis, the number one podcast for people wanting to give more value and make an impact. Loved this episode? Be sure to subscribe right now at www.jenduplessis.com/S2S for more stories, strategies, and thoughts to help you gain significance and success. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Join us next week for another breakthrough episode. Thank you for listening.